Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. And as we always do each and every Sunday, we're going to begin with a prayer because we do need the Lord's help before we do anything here. So let's pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness. We thank thee, Lord, for thy call, for the prompting of thy spirit. We thank thee for this privilege to be here in thy presence. And we pray, Lord, that thou would direct our steps, direct this service, direct each and everything that we do. Help us to be within thy will always. Help us to follow the prompting of thy spirit. And we pray, Lord, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us here this day. We pray, Lord, that thou would open our hearts so that we are able to worship thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would fill us with the desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Let thy anointing be here. Let thy blessing be upon the entirety of this service. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to open our hymnals this morning to number 324 and sing I Surrender All, number 324. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His service daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Bye. 169 and sing Pass Me Not. 169.
Say
150 and sing Room at the Cross for You, number 150.
Found. there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. From Calvary to cleanse every stain, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, that's still true today. There's still room at that cross for us. And really, that is the place where we met our Savior, where He reached out for us and we can reach out for Him. Praise the Lord. And that invitation is still open. There are people out there who can still heed the call of the Lord. It's not too late. As long as you're breathing, as long as you have breath, as long as your blood is flowing, you still have that opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Scriptures tell us that whosoever will may come. We're going to turn our hymnals now to number 241 and sing, Whosoever Will. Number 241. Whosoever heareth, shout the sound, spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the with joyful news wherever man is found, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over hell and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home, whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay, now the door is open, enter while ye may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over hell and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure, whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over hell and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over hell and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home, whosoever will may come. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Not going to find a better way. He is the only living way. Praise the Lord. The book of Hebrews, which we just studied, told us all about that, how He is the new and living way. Praise God, and He is the only way. So there is no need to delay coming to the Lord Jesus. You'll never find anything better than that. Praise the Lord. We're going to take up the collection now. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise God. Glory to God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done. We thank Thee for Thy goodness towards us. We can never thank Thee enough. We can never be appreciative enough for all that Thou hast done. And we stand in awe of Thy grace and Thy mercy towards us. We stand in awe of Thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for having Thy hand upon this church. We thank Thee for Thy direction and Thy guidance over the years. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead us by Thy mighty hand. Reveal Thy perfect plan to us. Help us to always be obedient to Thy will and give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy and mighty name. We pray, Lord, that Thou bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we do have a prayer request here. We're going to pray for Vicki Wolf. She's been having some back pain from sciatica, and she would like prayer for that. So let's pray for Vicki Wolf right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this day on behalf of Vicki. We pray, Lord, that Thou would reach down from heaven. We pray, Lord, that Thou would touch her, that Thou would deliver her, that Thou would help her, that Thou would strengthen her. We pray, Lord, that this pain would leave her. We pray that her back would be completely healed. We pray that she would be made every whit whole. We ask, Lord, that thou would lift her up. We pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen her by thy mighty hand and help her, O God, to believe on thee for deliverance. For we know that we can always look to thee. We know that thou art the one who is able to help us. We ask, Lord, that thou would touch her right now, even as we pray for her. Lift her up by thy mighty power, we pray, and let thy healing virtues flow, we ask. Touch her right now, we pray, in Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one little chorus before we open our Bibles this morning. We're going to open our chorus book to number 3 and sing Fire, 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 which is actually a request, but I don't mind. It's a good little chorus to sing, number 3. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, it's time to open our Bibles. I hope you all brought one, and if you didn't, we have extras, so don't worry. We'll gift you a Bible one way or the other, so praise the Lord. It's time to open this precious book, this gift that has been bestowed upon us, this book where we learn so much about our God. And we learn about the experiences that people had with our God, and that shows us the kind of experience that we can have with our God. Praise the Lord. You know, you don't have to have a one-way relationship with God. I believe it's a two-way relationship. He talks to His people. He leads His people. His Spirit is upon His people. He shows us things in His Word. It's not a one-sided thing. Praise God, and we need to make sure that we always have an open heart, ready and willing to receive His Word. We need to make sure that we're always able to pay attention to what the Lord has for us. In fact, the title of the message today is called, Your Attention, Please. Your Attention, Please. And we are going to be starting in Psalm 1 to begin with this morning. Of course, before we read even one verse, we always do this, don't we? We're going to pray one more time, so let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for this opportunity to open this blessed book. And we pray, Lord, that thou would stir our souls to the core today. We pray, Lord, that thou would stir our minds, that thou would draw us nigh unto thyself. We pray, Lord, that we would reach out to thee, that we would draw close to thee, that we would appreciate all that thou hast done and meditate upon thy word, upon thy good works, upon thy miracles, upon thy blessings, Lord. Be with thy people here today. Inspire us to serve thee more closely. Inspire us to be more like thee. Inspire us to obey thee. We pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be here upon each and every one of us. Give us the spirit of discernment and understanding. Let there be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us. Let there be no distractions, but we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would have free course. And give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. And before I get started, I do just want to say thank you to everyone for that card I received last week. That was very nice. Greatly appreciated, and I do appreciate all of you as well. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm putting a title on this, your attention, please, because people's attention in this day and age, this modern age that we live in now, is something that's very hard to get. It's hard to get people's attention. Because we have so much, so many things competing for people's eyeballs and competing for people's minds. People are constantly caught up in one thing or another, and it's really something. You know, I found this article yesterday. I was doing a little research, and this is from Time magazine, but this was published several years ago now. This was in May 2015. And the headline on this little story from Time is, "You now have a shorter attention span than a goldfish." It says in this article, "The average attention span for the notoriously ill-focused goldfish is 9 seconds, but according to a new study from Microsoft Corporation, people now generally lose concentration after 8 seconds, highlighting the effects of an increasingly digitalized lifestyle on the brain." And that's true. We have all these devices now. People have smartphones, and there's all these TVs and tablets and computers and technology that people couldn't have even imagined even 20 years ago. There are things that exist now that didn't exist 10 years ago. The world is rapidly changing, and it is having an impact on people. And as people turn their eyes upon these other things, it gets harder and harder to get people's attention. And now we have social media. There's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, there's Snapchat. And Snapchat, I haven't been on there, but I think it would drive me nuts. You know, from what I hear, people, they post these pictures, but they're only there for a short time, and then they disappear, and they keep posting more and more, and there's always a flood of more and more pictures. How do you even keep up with that? No wonder people have so much trouble focusing, and, you know, social media is something that has even affected the President of the United States. He's always on Twitter. I don't know if you've ever looked at his Twitter. I have. It's really something. I mean, he's on there all day. It seems like every day. I saw a story not too long ago that said he tweeted, I believe it was 80 times in one day. Now, that takes a lot of time, and I think perhaps maybe someone should take his smartphone away sometimes. He's supposed to be running a country. But people are very distracted nowadays, aren't they? And this story, and this is an older story, who knows, maybe people's attention span has gotten even shorter. But it says, the average attention span in 2015 was 8 seconds. 8 seconds. And it's really something. There's more that I found. I found this little story here. It says, Hyundai Australia taps into short attention spans with quirky 4-second ads. It says, Hyundai Australia has pioneered the 4-second car review. 25 quirky short videos featuring alleged motor experts like a dog, a cactus, a chameleon, a ninja, a time traveler, and a flat earther. The blink and you'll miss it them The Blink and You'll Miss Them segments from Analog Folk Sydney is informed by a study claiming that the average online attention span is now just 4.1 seconds. Furthermore, over 73% of all car buyers research online and on social media when considering a car purchase. So they came up with this plan. You know, they noticed people's attention spans have gotten so short, so we're going to make commercials, put them online, but they're only going to be 4 seconds long because apparently for a lot of people, that's all they can handle. 4 seconds passes and they move on to something else. But there's so much content all the time. And I saw another article, and this is about a guy who wrote that he has anxiety because there's so much to watch now. You got Netflix, you've got Hulu, you've got Disney Plus, all these services where you can just watch and watch and watch and watch. And he says in his article that he's got so much stuff to watch that sometimes he actually dreads starting a new TV show. He feels anxiety about it, and he said he's not the only one. He got on his Twitter, asked other people about it, and 100 people also commented and said they feel the same anxiety. There's too much to watch. And it's true, you could never watch it all. Some people might try, but you'll never watch it all. And you shouldn't either, because there's a lot of it that simply is not worth watching. But here's another little story, and it says, smartphone separation anxiety. Scientists explain why you feel bad without your phone. People have come to rely on their phones so much. And I don't know if you've ever watched people, but if you go to a restaurant, you can look around and you'll see that a lot of them are going to have their phones out at the table. And they'll be browsing online or maybe texting. They might even be texting the person sitting right next to them. Figure that one out. But people have become so reliant on these devices that when they don't have it, they feel anxiety. Separation anxiety, they call it. It is a real thing. It's a medical condition. This article goes on to say, smartphone separation anxiety is set to become an increasingly widespread problem, researchers say. The term, which is also known as nomophobia, which is short for no mobile, is used to describe the feeling of panic or stress some people experience when they're unable to access or use their mobile phone. According to new research, it has little to do with being unable to make or receive phone calls. That's true, especially with millennials. They don't really like talking on the phone anymore. They prefer to text, and it's become a very common thing for young people to never talk on the phone. And I actually text quite a bit to myself, and talking on the phone isn't my favorite either. But, you know, people don't feel anxiety about phone calls because even though they have these smartphones, they hardly ever use them for talking on the phone. Instead, scientists from the City University of Hong Kong and the Sung Kyung Kwan University in Seoul say it's because smartphones are so advanced and personal to us that they've actually become an extension of ourselves. Isn't that something? Those little smartphones, they say they become an extension of people, an extension of their personality, to the point where if you take it away from them, a lot of them don't have a personality anymore. As well as storing meaningful photos and messages, mobiles act as a gateway to an enormous range of apps, websites, and services that let us quickly access content that's important to us. As smartphones evoke more personal memories, users extend more of their identity onto their smartphones. The research, which is published in the journal Cyber Psychology, Behavior, and Social Networking, says, when users perceive smartphones as their extended selves, they are more likely to become attached to the devices, which in turn leads to nomophobia by heightening the phone proximity-seeking tendency. Look at all these fancy terms they have for it now. Though they used a relatively small sample group of 300 students in South Korea for their study and conceded that it might not be fully representative of all smartphone users, they believe smartphone separation anxiety will become a bigger and bigger issue for people in the future as technology becomes more personalized and we grow ever more reliant upon it. And what's really amazing, this article, let me see if I can find this where it says this exactly, but it actually goes on to say that just having a smartphone in your proximity ruins your concentration, even if it's turned off and flipped over. A lot of people can't focus if they have that phone in their presence. And, you know, we have all these devices nowadays, and I'm not saying you need to go out and throw away your smartphones or burn them or whatever or smash them with a hammer. I'm not saying you need to do that. But what I am saying is you need to make sure those devices don't consume you, because it is a very real problem. It's a problem for a lot of people. There are people who simply cannot put those things down. And it's gotten to a point a lot of times, if you ever watch people when they're even watching TV now, they'll be watching TV, and what do? They get bored with what they're watching, so they pull out their phone, and they're using their phone at the same time while they're watching TV. Now, there's a problem with all of this. How is anyone ever going to turn their eyes upon Jesus and focus on the Lord if their eyeballs are always focused on something else? We live in a world that is competing for your eyeballs, something that always wants to grab your attention, and there is absolutely no end to the content available. You can get on YouTube, but you'll never finish YouTube, because it's one video after another. And they actually use artificial intelligence, by the way. They program those playlists so that one will start playing after one ends. And they use it to figure out what you're going to like. They use artificial intelligence to do that. And what that does is it gets you addicted, where you'll actually spend hours and hours and hours on YouTube. And before you know it, 3 hours has gone by and you didn't even notice, you know. But they do that on purpose. It's designed that way. It's designed to be addictive. But we need to make sure that we don't let anything get in our way of focusing on the Lord. The scriptures tell us that we need to meditate on God. We need to sit and be quiet and think about the Lord sometimes. Sometimes we need to get in that place. Yes, there's times to shout. There's times to rejoice. But sometimes you need to just stop and ponder the greatness of your God. And that's something that a lot of people don't do anymore. You know, I have to say, a few years ago, I went up north with my wife for a little getaway, and we stayed at this cabin in Phillips, Wisconsin, middle of nowhere, out in the woods, and there was nothing there. There was no technology, no internet, no phone, no TV. And you know what? It was wonderful. It was really nice. But we need those quiet times so that we can stop and reflect upon what God has done for us, so that we can actually have a line of communication open with our God. Let's look at Psalm chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1, which tells us, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And in these verses, you see a progression, don't you? First, you have a man who's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Pretty soon, he's standing with sinners. And then, finally, he's sitting down with them. There is a progression there. But this chapter, verse 1 of chapter 1, tells us that the man who does not do that, and the woman who does not do that, that applies to women too, is blessed. Because you don't want the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly are not going to give you wise and good counsel. They're going to give you counsel that is contrary to the word of God. You don't want to stand in the way of sinners, and you definitely don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. There's something about scorn. People who are scornful. It rubs off, doesn't it? You're sitting with one scornful person, and before you know it, everybody else around that person is scornful too. It puts everybody in a bad mood. And we don't need that. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You see, that's what we're supposed to do. We need to stop and contemplate and think about our God and let His presence fill us and take the time to stop and feel His presence. It's one thing to say you have the Holy Ghost, but do you actually feel His presence? Do you give Him any attention? We live in a world today where a lot of people never do. They might profess to be Christians, but they never give God a second thought because they're too busy doing other things. And they might go to church for a little while on Sunday and maybe think about it for a little while on Sunday, but that's the extent of it. No, this verse tells us in Psalm 1 that we need to meditate day and night. And I'm not talking about transcendental meditation where they sit in a funny position and go, om, om, om. We don't do that. But we do stop and think and contemplate on what God has done for us. We meditate on His Word, on His law. We meditate on His greatness. And that's something that should never stop. Verse 3, "And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper." The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, that's why it is so important for us to meditate on the things of God, meditate on His Word, and be in His presence. It's really something, too. We live in a world today where people's minds are so captivated by so many devices and so many things, where they move rapidly from one thing to the next, that they actually talk about this now. They tell people, you need to stop and make sure you practice mindfulness. Practice mindfulness. Have you heard that one? Really, what they're doing is they're telling people you have to stop and think. And that never used to be a problem. At least not very much. I know minds would wander a little bit, and that's a tendency with children, for example. But now they're telling people you have to practice mindfulness because they have so much trouble focusing on anything. And they have millions of kids in this country who they say have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and they can't focus on anything, so they drug them up, and then you got a whole bunch of people who are on drugs. And that's not good either. But they say you have to practice mindfulness. People actually have to be reminded to think in this modern world that we live in. And if you don't stop and think, you're never going to be able to contemplate the things of God, His Word. We need to study this Word. We need to absorb it. We need to focus on it. Let it sink in. Read it. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Let it sink in. You can never get too much of this Word. You'll still be learning more. You're never going to stop learning from the Word of God. I've been reading this book since I was 5 years old, and I'm not done with it yet. We need to meditate on God's Word. We need to meditate on His wonderful blessings, all that He has done, His creative power. And there are other psalms that tell us that we need to meditate on God. Let's look at Psalm 63 next. Psalm 63. You know, a lot of people, they walk around with a void in their lives. They don't know how to fulfill it. And that's one of the reasons why drugs have become so common in this day and age. That's why so many people turn to drugs and other things that occupy their mind, numb the pain, as they like to say. Because there's this void. And when people don't know the Lord, they're going to feel that void. People don't know what to do about it, so they try to occupy their mind with other things. But Psalm 63 tells us in verse 1, "O God, Thou art my God." That is a wonderful thing to acknowledge. In fact, what does Hebrews chapter 11 tell us? "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Seek him early? Seek him in the afternoon too. Seek him in the evening. Seek him at night. Never stop. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Simply knowing the Lord, knowing his kindness, him revealing himself to you, is better than life itself. In fact, that should be our life. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Again, we see it here, the need to meditate on God. Remember what the Lord has done. Don't ever forget. Keep remembering. Remind yourself every day of the wonderful things that God has done for you. We live in a world that's very cynical. We live in a world that's filled with a lot of pain. We live in a world where a lot of things go wrong. And that's because we live in a sinful world. So there are a lot of things that can distract us. There are a lot of things that can make us forget what God has done. Sometimes your life might seem terrible. But if you stop and meditate on God and count your blessings, you're going to quickly realize it's not as bad as you thought it was. And it certainly could be a lot worse. Worst of all, you could be a person who knows not the Lord. That would be the worst thing of all. But we need to stop and think and ponder the greatness of God. And I tell you what, at night when you're in bed, falling asleep, it's a wonderful time to do it. It's a wonderful thing to fall asleep thinking about the Lord. It's something I do frequently. I highly recommend it. Meditate on God. And perhaps even read a chapter before bed. You know, that's helpful too. But it's a wonderful thing to stop and think about what God has done and to talk to him too. That's part of the meditation. To talk to the Lord. Make sure you're able to hear what he has for you. You know, oftentimes he doesn't speak in an audible voice. Sometimes he does. But usually what he'll do is he'll actually speak to your heart. But if you're too busy, if you're too busy doing other things, if you're always looking at something else, how are you even going to notice? You need to make sure you take time to stop and notice. And I'm not aiming this sermon at anyone, except perhaps maybe myself. I need to hear this too. And so, you know, if a sermon like this ever feels like it cuts too deep, I don't aim these at anybody. I don't target anybody. I just say what the Lord tells me to say. And for some reason, he gave me this message yesterday. Maybe I'm the one who needs to hear it. We need to make sure we meditate on God, because it's easy to get distracted in this world. It's easy to forget to do that. Yes, remember him upon your bed. Verse 6 tells us, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. That's another thing that you should be conscious of, that the Lord is right there with you. You're in the shadow of his wings. He's there. He's present with you. He's there to help you. He's not far away from you. He's right there with you. And you can talk to him anytime. Isn't that a thought? Isn't that an awesome thought? That God Almighty, the creator of the universe, is right there with you and you can talk to him anytime? There may be times when it seems like he's far away from you. And that's the effect of the world. That's the effect of living in a sinful world. But he doesn't leave you. Yes, we can turn around and walk away from the Lord. But if you ever feel distant from the Lord, you have to ask yourself, who moved? It wasn't him. He's right there with you, and he promised that he'll never leave you. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. So it's a wonderful thing to stop and think about all the ways that God has helped us. "Because thou hast been my help," it tells us in verse 7. "Therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." That's another great realization to have as well. We will be victorious in the Lord. Yes, we face struggles in this life. We all do. We know that well in his church. Many of us have faced a lot of struggles in these past couple years. But the Lord is our help. So meditate upon that. Think about that. Ponder that. Let's now look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and we're going to start with verse 1. "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me." Well, that's wonderful to know too. When you cry out to God, he hears you. "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah." You know, sometimes people do feel bad. Sometimes people might even complain to God. And things might just seem horrible and impossible and wrong. And we all have felt these attitudes at one time or another, I'm sure. We can relate to this psalm of Asaph. We've all felt like this at one time or another, where things just don't seem right. And you're wondering, where is the Lord? Where is he? Why isn't he helping me? Verse 4, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore?" We might ask these questions sometimes, but we already know the answer. No, his promises don't fail. They never fail. Sometimes we might have to wait a little bit. But waiting teaches patience, and patience is a virtue we all need. Verse 9, "Hath God forgotten to be gracious?" No, he doesn't forget to be gracious. "Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah. No, he would never do that. Verse 10, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." You see, this is what you need to do when you're feeling awful. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you had a bad day. Maybe something went wrong. Possibly even horribly wrong. And maybe you work too hard and you have a stiff back and your body hurts and you're just in a bad mood altogether. Well, what do you do in a situation like that? Verse 10 says, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Stop and think and ponder all the wonderful things that God has done for you, all the ways that He has helped you over the years. And when you start to realize all that He has done, it is going to lift your mood. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy works of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Just stop and think and ponder the greatness of God. And what a privilege it is for you and for me to know the Almighty God, the one true God, the Creator of the universe. He didn't have to do that for us. And yet, He did. We have that opportunity. There is no greater God than our God. In fact, there is no other God than our God. Verse 14, Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. You know, Jesus came to this world to redeem His people with His own arms. His own arm wrought salvation. You know, when He went to the cross and was lifted up on that cross and had His arms stretched out, He was stretching out His arms for you so that we can come to Him. Yes, His arm brought salvation. Verse 16, The waters saw Thee, O God, the waters saw Thee, they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of Thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. You know, when we hear about an earthquake, that should remind us of the greatness of God and His power and all that He can do. Because there are no limits to what God can do. He is Almighty God. Verse 19, Thy way is in the sea, and Thy path in the great waters, and Thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest Thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Yes, He leads His people along. And these are wonderful things to meditate on. You might be in the foulest of moods some days. But the best thing you can do in a situation like that is stop and think and meditate on God. His greatness. All that He has done. You know, I don't know how people can go outside and look up at the sky and see the stars and the sun and the moon and not be in awe of the greatness of God. And we are so small. He is so great. He fills the universe. He made the universe. He created everything. We are so small. And yet He takes the time to get to know us personally. It would be kind of like you going out there and getting a pet ant. And taking the time to get to know that ant. You know, some people might do that. I've heard of people having ant colonies, but by and large, most people are not going to take the time to stop to learn to get to know an ant. And yet, compared to God's greatness and God's power, we're all like little ants. So we need to stop and think and meditate on God. We live in a world that is trying to distract you all the time to keep you from doing that. Another thing we need to realize, another thing that's very important, is that if people don't stop and think, they're never going to feel convicted about their own sins. If they're so distracted, they're never going to repent. You see, that's something that starts in your mind too. When you become aware of the sins you have committed and you seek the Lord in repentance, when you're brokenhearted over it, that has to happen in your mind first. And that can't happen if you're always distracted. But there are a lot of people now who never stop to think anymore. And they never stop to wait on God. But when you stop to wait on God, that's when the miracles start to happen. Let's look at Isaiah 40 for a minute. Isaiah 40. We're just going to read a few verses at the end of this beautiful chapter. Isaiah 40. Looking at Isaiah 40, starting with verse 28, it tells us, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." And that's a good thing to meditate on, too. That's a good thing to ponder and think about. The greatness of God. He has no limitations. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He's the creator of every planet. He's the creator of every star. He's the creator of the sun and the moon and everything that we see, the oceans that we experience, the lakes, the rivers, the streams, the mountains, the beaches, the forests, everything. He made it all. He is the creator. But he doesn't get tired. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. There's no searching for his understanding. He's never confused. He's never in a situation where he doesn't know what to do. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You see, that is a blessing you find in waiting on the Lord. But in order to do that, you have to stop and lay aside all distractions and meditate on God. Meditate on His goodness. Really ponder what the Lord has done and let yourself be able to feel His presence. Wait on the Lord. When you do that, you'll find strength. It will renew your strength. And not only will it renew your strength, but it will renew your mind. Praise the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. People don't want to wait anymore. People are impatient. We want everything right away. We want to push a button and have what we're looking for. But you have to wait on the Lord. That's how you get the answers. You wait on the Lord. You show Him that you're willing to have patience and wait for Him and surrender your will to Him, not your own will, but His will. Let Him do what He needs to do when He needs to do it. Be patient and ready and waiting. And that all starts with stopping and thinking. Another thing that is so vitally important in our lives, another part of that meditation with God, is prayer. Because prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with God. And we have that line of communication that is open right now. It is very important, vitally important, that we pray. In fact, Jesus said to pray without ceasing. But some people, perhaps, don't know how to pray. And that was something that even His disciples didn't quite know how to do. If you can imagine, His disciples, those who walked with Jesus Christ Himself as He traveled those dusty roads of Galilee, they weren't sure how to pray. They had to ask. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 1 just to get a running start at this. Of course, we know this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and that was the greatest sermon ever preached on this earth. Jesus Christ himself preached it. There is so much to learn from the Sermon on the Mount. We've looked at that before, and Dad taught on it as well. Of course, there's so much you can learn, and you always find new things every time you read it. But the Sermon on the Mount lends great clarity to life. In fact, it really refines and explains God's commandments to us, how they apply to our lives, what God expects from us, how we should behave as Christians. Yes, we need this sermon. And this is a sermon that Jesus never stopped preaching. He's still preaching it today. He preaches it every time we open this book. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. If you want to give to the Lord, or if you want to give to the needy, if you want to give something and be helpful and kind, that is great. That's wonderful. That should be encouraged. But don't do it just to be seen of men. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. People might look at that verse and think, well, Jesus, he was probably just exaggerating there to make a point, you know, about not drawing attention to yourself when you're giving alms. No, he wasn't exaggerating. The Pharisees would literally do this. They would sound a trumpet when they were about to give, so that everybody would stop and look and see, look at what this great Pharisee is doing. They wanted everyone to stop and look, and they would actually sound a trumpet before they gave. You know what? That was their only reward. People saw them do it. They weren't going to be blessed by God for that. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. In other words, if you want to give, give. But you don't have to keep thinking about it long after you've given. Oh, remember that time I gave all that money years and years and years ago? Oh, that was really something, you know. Just give and move on with your life. Give from the right place in your heart. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, and of course this is the portion that I really wanted to focus in on here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. There are some people who pray just because they're seeking attention. And then there are other people who might pray and try to get it done and over with as quickly as possible. They feel like it's a ritual they have to go through, just a little routine. That is especially true in the Catholic religion, by the way. And some people never pray. They say, well, my pastor or my priest can do that for me. I don't need to pray. Or you might ask people sometimes, can I pray for you? And they might say, oh, no, that's okay. Somebody else is praying for me. I don't need your prayers. Look, you can never have too many prayers, right? Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying in public. I think that's something that should be encouraged. But what Jesus is talking about here is a different kind of prayer. This is a heart-to-heart talk with God, where you enter into your closet of prayer, put away all other distractions, anything else that might occupy your mind, and you focus on God. You meditate on Him. You think about His greatness, and you talk to the Lord. And those types of prayer sessions, where you go and you're waiting on the Lord, communing with the Lord, talking with the Lord, that is when you will see the greatest answers to your prayers. But it's not something that is over in just a second or a minute or a flash. It's something that you put some effort into. You spend some time with your God. You take time and you spend it with your Lord. You know, we live in a world where time can evaporate so quickly. They say there's 24 hours in a day, and I guess there are. Most people, they work 8 hours a day. Some people work more than that. And they say you're supposed to sleep for 8 hours a day. So if you sleep for 8 hours a day and you work for 8 hours a day, that's two-thirds of your day that's gone already. And maybe you have to commute to work. You might have a lengthy drive. There's so much that can take up your time. And then, for a lot of people, one of the first things they do when they get home after work is they turn on the TV. Spend a few hours watching TV. Well, you know what? You need to stop and think and make time for God. You need to stop and make time to pray. Because if you don't, your day will evaporate. It'll be gone before you know it. It'll be gone without you even thinking about it. Those minutes, those seconds in a day, they go by so quickly. In fact, our lives go by so quickly. James chapter 4, verse 14 tells us, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Our life is short. You don't want to waste it. Make sure you take the time to get to know your God. Take the time to get to communicate with your God. Get in that closet of prayer and really get to know your God. Because that's when you start to change as a person. That's when the changes that we need so very much start to happen. Yes, we need to enter into that closet of prayer. We need to meditate on the good things of God. We need to talk to our Savior. And of course, you don't literally have to go into a closet, but you certainly can if you want to. Find a quiet place and be with your God. Lay aside all other distractions. Let Him speak to you. Get to know Him. It will be amazing to you when you realize the greatness of God and how much He loves you when you take the time to stop and get to know Him. In fact, let's look at Revelation chapter 3 in closing. Revelation chapter 3. Something amazing happens when you stop and meditate on God and the goodness of God, and you stop and take time to know Him and to pray to Him and to communicate with Him. When you enter into that closet of prayer and shut the door on all other distractions, something amazing happens when you do that. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Let's start with verse 14. Of course, we know that these chapters tell us about the seven churches, and each of those seven churches had a message. But we're going to start with verse 14, which tells us the message to Laodicea. Verse 14, verse 1 tells us, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold, neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's another thing that can happen to people. They can get lukewarm. Or maybe they don't care as much as they used to about the Lord and the things of God, and that's because we live in a world full of distractions, things that occupy your mind. And if you don't meditate on God, you will forget about how awesome, and I mean that in the truest sense of the word, how awesome our God is. And a lot of people, they become so accustomed to their good things, their wealth, their possessions, their nice cars, whatever the case may be, that they stop thinking about the Lord and they become lukewarm. And while they may have possessions in this life, things, stuff, you can always get more stuff, but it is possible to have all of these possessions and at the same time spiritually be wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And it's possible for people to be in that condition and to not even know that they're in that condition. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Yes, we need the Lord to clothe us with his Spirit. We need him to give us eyes to see. But before any of that can happen, you have to stop and meditate on God. You have to think and ponder on the Lord. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Yes, that's good advice. That doesn't just apply to the Laodicean church. That applies to all of us. And if he truly does love you and you're doing wrong, he will chasten you. It doesn't feel good at the time, but when you realize later that he did it because he loves you, there's joy in that too. Be zealous therefore and repent. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He knocks on the door. You see, that's what happens when you enter into that closet of prayer, and you shut the door to everything else in the world. That's when he comes and he knocks on the door of your heart.
Yes, praise
God. And when that happens, he comes to dwell inside you. He gives you his Spirit. He gives you the strength and the power to overcome in this life, in this world. And all of that starts with taking the time to stop and think and ponder and meditate the goodness of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. We could overcome because he overcame. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And don't let anything steal that ability to hear from you. Take the time to focus on the Lord. Ponder your God. Meditate on his word. Make sure you take the time to pray. And when you do that, your life is going to change in many amazing ways. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast revealed Thyself to us. We thank Thee for the privilege of knowing Thee, and we pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to reveal Thyself to us. Help us to be firmly fixed on Thee. Let there be no distractions in our lives that would keep us away from Thee, that would otherwise occupy our minds so that we are unable to communicate with Thee, to meditate with Thee, to know Thee. Help us, Lord, to be Thine and Thine only. Let Thy presence and the knowledge of Thee and all that Thou hast done be the most important thing to us. We pray, Lord, that Thou would be first and foremost in our lives. Help us to seek Thee first. Help us to seek to do Thy will, to always seek to be obedient to Thee and the prompting of Thy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that Thou would give us all a special walk with Thee so that we may walk with Thee for the entirety of our lives. We ask for Thy blessing to be upon our lives. Help Thy people, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a chorus in closing. Let's turn to number 128 in the chorus book and sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Number 128.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon
the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.